Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
And now you push to find a label that fits me. I'm feeling good on a Wednesday with my mini-sode thoughts. Help me unload the car. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I started that way too low. Help me unload the car. Yeah, yeah, yeah. There you go.
I love that song.
Do you?
No, I don't know that song.
I was going to say, that's from South Park, so I'd be shocked if you loved that song and had heard of it.
I famously don't like stuff like that.
I have never in my life seen an episode of South Park, so I can't comment on it.
I remember both my parents really like it.
I had a lot of my scout troop. Fun fact, I am an Eagle Scout. I know that you all probably inferred that based on everything about me because I'm such an all-American Boy Scout type. but my scout troop was really into South Park. I would go to scout camp and they would all quote South Park and talk about girls and make dirty jokes. And I would sit in the tent alone and weave moccasins and be like, none of these boys understand me.
I love that. Aw, buddy. And look at you now.
Look
at
me
now. So many people understand you.
Singing on a cruise ship, having a podcast talking about Glee.
And they can never take your Eagle Scout away.
They can't ever take your Eagle Scout away. They can't. I mean, like, maybe they could, but, like, why would they bother? Honestly, the BSA has, not to go into a hot topic, but the BSA has so many problems within its organization. I don't think they're concerned about taking people's Eagle Scouts away.
Honestly heard. I don't know anything about the Boy Scouts of America, but you know what I do know? What I do know about?
The Girl Scouts of America.
Ooh. What? And you know who can join the Girl Scouts of America? Anybody of any gender. And that's the tea. Is that true? It must be. Honestly, if that's not true, I really talked out of my butt. But I remember seeing young boys in the Girl Scouts.
I would say look it up. Because girls can join the BSA.
Okay. So it looks like...
Oh my gosh.
Any young person interested in becoming a new member who identifies as a girl can be a Girl Scout. So I guess not. But I fully remember seeing a troop of boys in the Girl Scout, like jamboree thing. I might be making that up. I don't think so.
I hate to tell you this.
I guess you can't.
Because I truly have issues with the BSA. We can get into it later.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah.
But the Boy Scouts do allow all genders, and the Girl Scouts don't.
Oh, that's... Okay, what the heck is that about? Wow.
I think there's some, differences in... I don't know. I have terrible internet, so it's, what will load for me.
Yeah, totally.
I think there's differences in, troops. I think they have, all male troops, and then they have, a different troop for, female-identifying people. I don't really know. But that apparently, and I could be wrong, once again, I Googled this in 2 minutes on this internet that is actively fighting me every step of the way.
Dang. Wow. I really was living with that information in my head that was just fake. So thanks for letting us know. Oh my gosh. You got it. Well, you and I are way too old to be scouts, so we can move on.
That's true. I got out of that organization 10 years ago.
Literally.
I remember a story that this might be a Patreon exclusive. When I went in to do my Eagle Scout interview, because you have to do, to be an Eagle Scout, you obviously like have to get X amount of merit badges, yada, yada, yada. And then you have to do a project, and then you have to go into an interview where you talk about your project and you talk about your time in Scouts and you talk about like who you are as a person, what your values are, yada, yada, yada. And then afterwards, if you pass the interview, you get your Eagle Scout. So I went in to do the interview with the guy, and I came out. He like the whole time would not look me in the eyes. It was so weird. It was so uncomfortable. I was like, are you listening to me? I got out and my mom was waiting outside and she said, how do you think it went? And I said, I don't know. I like thought it went well, but he wouldn't make eye contact with me. So I wasn't sure if he like really liked me or not. And then they have all the interviewers step forward who like interviewed all the people, all the candidates for that day. And he walks forward and he has a seeing eye cane. And he was blind, and that's why he wouldn't look me in the eyes. I felt so bad. I was so humiliated. I mean, like, thankfully, I just said it to my mom. Like, I didn't say it to anyone else.
Yeah, totally.
But I was like, oh, I'm so, such an awful person. That the whole interview, I was like, why won't this guy look at me? And it's because he can't, Ian. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Humiliating. Humiliating. Anyways, he passed me, though. He came up to my mom, and he told her that I was one of the most impressive candidates he'd ever interviewed.
Oh,
so shout out to him.
Oh, that's very sweet. I'm glad. Shout out. That's awesome.
And my mom said, he's gay, and if you knew that, you wouldn't give him his eagle. That's actually true of that time period.
Yeah.
Not that my mom knew I was gay.
Very harsh of your mom to out you like that.
I know, right? But that was big drama with Scouts. I think that's... Actually, I'm like near positive that that has changed. But at that time period, if you were gay, it was pretty common for the scout of the BSA to kick you out, which is not cool.
Yeah.
One of the problems I have with them.
Totally. Dang.
Anyways. Oh, I still haven't said this. So that song, if you remember us talking about a song, that was Push, open parentheses, Feeling Good on a Wednesday, close parentheses. It's from an episode of South Park where it turns out that Lord the singer is actually Randy Marsh. And it's like a Hannah Montana situation where like he's Randy Marsh, but then he's also Lord. And that song is the song he sings as Lord. It was suggested by a friend of the podcast and my real life friend, Kelsey. Thank you.
Shout out, Kelsey. Hell yeah. Are you ready to get in this minisode? How are you?
I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good. Ship life is a bit of a petri dish. Everyone is just around the same people and no one else all the time. So I keep getting sick and I'm so over it. But besides that,
I get
good.
That.
How are you?
I get that. It's like summer camp, but like for like 9 months. I'm good. New York City is the exact opposite. I went to a really good friend of mine from college's wedding this last weekend. Oh my gosh, you guys, that was so fun. It was so nice to see my friends again. And I got to see my family over Halloween. Honestly, it rocked. Ian probably didn't hear any of that.
Did you hear any of that? No, I talked about being sick and then I said, but I'm fine. How are you? And then it cut out.
And then I said, I just shared that, like, I went to a friend's wedding and I went home for Halloween.
I missed all of that. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
I mean, I do already know this because we've talked about it, but I missed all of that.
You know that story. I was just like, it was so nice to go home.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
I'm glad it was nice.
Oh my God. I have a question. Have you been speaking Spanish more that you're on your cruise?
Yes.
Cool. That's awesome.
I do majorly get off on a power trip when we have to like take a taxi and like I'm the only one in the car who can talk to the driver and like tell them where we're going and all that stuff. I get very much like, wow, who am I? God? Like I can talk to this person and you can't.
It's like, what would you suckers do without me?
Seriously, like you'd be so, time we took an Uber and we'd accidentally put down the wrong address. And so they dropped us off in the middle of nowhere. And I straight up, I was like, if I wasn't here, you'd be stranded.
Yeah, literally. That's so funny. Oh my gosh, I love that for you. I love feeling like people need me. So that's a good feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh.
Same. I have a question.
I have an answer.
Does that Eagle Scout interview story, should I keep that in for everyone or should it stay for Patreon? What do you think?
I don't think it's offensive. Okay. It was just a misunderstanding. I'm not sure, though. I'm not visually impaired.
I know. I mean, it was an honest mistake.
Yeah.
I'm keeping it in. Don't cancel me.
Oh, my gosh. Are you ready to get into this minisode?
Let's hit it. Let's do it.
Hell yeah. Let's kick things off with our friend, Bree.
Hi, Lena and Ian. I hope you're both doing okay. I just have to know, have you listened to Jenna and Kevin's new podcast, particularly the Ryan Murphy interview? If possible, I would love to hear if you have any thoughts on it. Has it changed your view of the show at all or offered any new insights? Has it shifted your opinion of Ryan Murphy at all? And what do you think of Ryan Murphy's big regret that they never did a Taylor Swift tribute episode? I always love listening to your podcast. Hope your November is off to a lovely start so far. Best, Bree, she, her. Bree, that interview was one of the most fascinating pieces of media I've ever listened to. So full disclosure, I've only listened to part one. We're currently filming this on Monday, so part two did come out yesterday. I don't know if you can tell from the fact that this call has dropped three times in the 10 minutes we've been recording, but my internet is garbage. So I've been trying to listen to part two, but it's literally a fight for my life. So I have to wait until I'm like in a city and have Wi-Fi from a restaurant or something, and then I'll download part two and I'll listen to it. So I can't tell if this like Taylor Swift tribute episode is supposed to be a joke that I know is a joke or if he actually talks about that in part two, because I haven't gotten that far. But to just talk about part one. So I recommend genuinely that everyone who listens to this podcast listens to this interview. It is on, as Bree says, Jen Oshkowitz and Kevin McHale's new podcast, And That's What You Really Missed. It's so, so fascinating. They talk about, so before the pandemic, before all of that drama, and especially before the passing of Naya Rivera, Jenna and Kevin started their podcast Showmance, and they talked about their time on Glee, and they shared a lot of stories, and honestly, it's a lot of fun, and I enjoyed listening to it. But it was always just kind of like the vanilla stories about Glee, and they would kind of like hint at some stuff that wasn't as great, but they never really got into it, which I do respect. People don't need to know all your personal drama, but you know, it was always kind of the watered down version of their experience on Glee. They start this new podcast that they just started a week and a half ago. They started by talking about, we want to talk about our experience on Glee as it really was. Like, we want to really get into it. We want to talk about everything. And Jenna specifically says, because so many people who weren't there constantly talk about it and are obviously I'm paraphrasing, putting it into my own words, but essentially, like, so many people who weren't there are constantly like talking about it and raising hypotheticals and just like saying stuff that's pure conjecture as if it's fact. So we want to talk about what really happened, specifically because despite like any drama that happened on Glee, it was overall a joyful experience for us. And we want to share that with the world, that it was a good experience. We don't regret it. We have fond memories of it. And their interview with Ryan Murphy, that's all that they've released so far, is so, it's so stupid, but like, I'm being very overdramatic right now. It like kind of restores my faith in humanity a little bit, because they talk to him and all three parties are very honest about ways that like the relationship turned sour, ways that they felt kind of like ignored or mistreated by him during their time on the show. Ryan Murphy owns up to a lot of regrets he has about running the show and a lot of what was going on in his mind and stresses he was under. He talks about how he feels like that show prepared him so much to be a father, because he realized working on that show. he just, like, during the first season, he was so close to everyone, and they were such a family, and they had such a great time. And then as the show became more popular, he became, like, an absentee father to them, and noticed how strained their relationships got. And he's like, and it made me realize when I had my own kid that, like, I gotta prioritize that relationship over anything else. But what's so beautiful is they go in depth about stuff like that, and like hurt feelings and awkward situations that they were in. But at the end of it, they all talk about how much they care about each other and how much like that experience changed their lives, and they're so grateful for it. And it was really nice. We've talked a big game about like Ryan Murphy being evil incarnate on this podcast.
Totally.
And I still think that, like, to this day, you know, he makes some decisions that I don't agree with, but he's also, I'm not going to agree with anyone's decisions 100% totally. Because I'm not anyone else. But it was so incredible to hear him specifically talk about, and you never think about, when we watch Glee, it's so obvious that all of these kids are just starting out, it's their first job, they're new to the business. We never think about how it was also Ryan Murphy's big first success. We kind of think of, oh, he's the highest paid man in television. He had all this power, like he's god of television. Yeah. But he talks about in that podcast that he's like, I have been working in TV for a while, but I had just had like failure after failure. I'd had Nip Tuck, which was a success, but it was a cable success, which is still like very small. And he said, I was a gay man working in television in like the 90s and early 2000s. I would go into meetings with higher ups and they would make fun of the way I talked to my face. Like, oh my God, they would shoot down my ideas. He had just done this pilot that he was so excited about, gave it to the network, and the network said, we really love this pilot, we think it's fantastic, but we can't air it because it's about a trans storyline, it's not going to do well. So like, he had just gotten no after no after no, and he says, I really regret this, but when Glee happened and it became such a success, I had just been so not used to that I was afraid that if I said no to anything, the yeses were going to stop coming. So he was like, every time I got a green light, I went. So they said, like, do you want to send the kids on tour? I said yes, not really considering how much work I was putting you through. They said, like, do you want to do, like, cover these songs? I said yes. They said, do you want to do a concert movie? I said yes. They said, do you want to do another show? And I said yes, and I started working on American Horror Story. He talks about how he spread himself way too thin because he was just so afraid that if he said no, after like years and years of knowing no, that was going to revert back to what it was. It's so interesting. It's really great.
I'll have to go listen to it. I haven't listened to it yet, but that's high praise. I'm really looking forward to listening to it.
Yeah, it's a great interview. I recommend that everyone listens to it. It was so interesting. And it's just nice to know that, like, overall, Kevin even talks about this. Kevin talks about how one of the reasons I started this podcast is after Naya Rivera passed away, it kind of forced the cast to start being in each other's lives again. That like through grief, they all started talking to each other again, like all of them. And he talks about how he and Ryan talked every day for a month after she went missing. And he says that one of the things that started that relationship is he was talking to Ryan on the phone and he could sense that like the way that Ryan was talking, that Ryan kind of viewed Glee as like a bit of a regret or like a bit of an embarrassment in his career, that he clearly like regretted a lot of stuff about it. And Kevin said to him, I hope you know that we don't regret being on Glee. That like, yes, there were problems and yes, there was stuff about it we didn't like, but overall, all of us think back on it fondly and as a happy time in our lives. And that's just so nice to hear about this show.
Yeah. Like, oh my gosh.
I feel like especially the online rumor mill, and I'm not going to pretend that we haven't been complicit in that, but especially completely. The online rumor mill always paints it as like all of these actors were so traumatized by this show. And it's just so nice to know that the show that brings us so much joy did also bring them joy in their lives.
I love that. And I think like, even I appreciate you saying we've probably been complicit in that as well, because we certainly have. And especially, I love like them wanting to like at least rework the narrative to be like, listen, I know you guys think that this was terrible because, like, a couple terrible things happened, and, like, those things did happen, but, like, let's talk about the good stuff as well. I love that. Mm-hmm. That makes me really happy. That's really smart for, I think that's really cool that they started out with Ryan Murphy. I look forward to listening to it. I'm excited too.
I know. I was frankly shocked when I opened the first
episode.
Seriously,
I was like, oh my God.
And it said Ryan Murphy was the guest. I don't, because we just, like, we painted in our minds that he was, like, abusive and awful and they all hate him now. And now it's just like, now I view it as, it's kind of the relationship that a lot of people have with their parents, where it's like, there's a lot of complication there and there's a lot of hurt feelings there. But at the end of the day, you also recognize the good that they did for you and the sacrifices they made for you. And, like, you still love them because they're your parent.
Oof. Yeah, totally.
Doesn't mean that you don't fight. Doesn't mean you want to be around them all the time. But, like, it's still, you still have a love for them and have an appreciation for them.
Dag, yo. Well, Bree, thanks so much for bringing it up. Ian, thanks so much for that glowing recommendation. Honestly, I have I told you this. I have a disease this year that is called I cannot sit through any media that's not a book. So
I read that
I'm trying to get better.
In a science journal.
Yeah, I read totally. About that. I know it's a real disease. I was diagnosed. But for real, like, I just have a tough time doing that. But God, I love Glee so much. And I would love to, like, at least, and I don't know if you're feeling this way too, we're in this, like, section of Glee that, like, is certainly, like, the nose dive in Glee.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like even my attitude towards Glee recently has been a little like, oh, I can tell everyone hates it here. I can tell all these people, like, don't want to be here. And it's like, maybe that's not even the case. I'm just like reading into something that's not even there. So
yeah,
I'm into that. Bree, thanks so much for your message. Jenna and and Kevin, if you're listening, shout out.
We know you are.
We know you are. I'm like, do you think they're talking about us? Are we the drama? No. No, we're not.
Name drop us. Ryan's like, my feelings have been deeply hurt by this podcast, Recovering Gleek. Where one time
I told you I have like had like nightmares where he sues us for defamation. I'm serious. I'm dead serious. Not that I've said anything. Maybe
we'll enter this episode into evidence to be like,
see?
We retracted our statements.
I do think you especially are very good at being like, this is a rumor. This is a rumor. You know what I mean? Like, this cannot hold up in a court of law. So, hell yeah. Shout out Ryan Murphy. I know you're listening.
I know you're listening.
I know you're listening. That's all you want to do is listen to Recovering Gleek. Shout out. Uh-huh. Oh, heck yeah. All right. Up next, we have someone who might sue us for defamation. Enemy of the podcast. Alex Allred.
All right. Once again, you know it, you love it. There's no greeting. There's no
greeting.
Here it is. My prophecy has been fulfilled. Will Schuster has performed Blurred Lines. Horrifying. I feel so bad for Matthew Hitchcock or whatever his name is. There are so many fun ideas in this one that somebody, whether it was the director, actors, creators, I don't know, will not allow the humor to reach its full potential. The idea of Will not understanding that Blurred Lines is about sex and performing it is such a funny idea and such a great way to put that song on the show, if it must be done, which it definitely mustn't. But like you guys said, they don't actually present that concept. He is fully being sexy and into the sexiness of it. And poor Matthew Morrison is just such a one-dimensional, terrible actor. Half the humor of that plot, another person who might sue us for defamation.
Let's sue Alex.
Don't shoot the messenger. I'm just reading what's in front of me. Half the humor of that plot I didn't even see until hearing you guys talk about it because it was so deeply buried beneath his performance. Honestly, I'm not convinced he is aware the show is a comedy. He keeps taking really fun comedic concepts and not only bringing nothing to them, but sucking the satire right out of them until there is no trace left. Why would you cast someone this bad at comedy in the lead of a show like this? Yes, I know he is not the lead now, but he was. Well, if you listen to That's What You Really Missed by Jenna and Kevin, you'll know that this part was originally written for Justin Timberlake. And he turned it down.
I know you want it.
Can you imagine Justin Timberlake as Mr. Schuster on this show? No. Wild. Anyways.
Honestly, hear me out. Matthew Morrison and Justin Timberlake have very similar vibes. So I think they did a good job with casting.
Yeah, it's... I won't say anymore because I don't want to talk about people, but yes.
No, totally. We don't want to get sued for defamation.
Yes. And now I'm hyper... Now that Ryan Murphy's in his redemption era, I'm hyper aware of anything I say about anyone on mic. All right. Back to Alex. Also, why has he got to be sexy when he is telling off Sue in her office and throws a Sue tantrum? Why is he trying so hard to be hot during that scene? I'm sick of it. Another sad slaughter of Michael Hitchcock's, I think I got his name right that time, comedy is the Rachel plot. It honestly breaks my heart to see, because it's like old Rachel was just under the surface of the ice, knocking to be set free, and then they just pretended they don't hear her and wait for her to drown. Murderers! The idea that Rachel rebels by pretending to rebel is so funny and such goody-goody old Rachel neurotic nonsense. This girl who wants so badly to break the rules and be rebellious thinks she is so badass by wearing a wig to rehearsal because she's too chicken to actually get a haircut, and then thinks she is now some rebel and talks her friend into getting a tattoo but bails herself is so fun and true and relatable. And then, what a nice ending to find a moment of true sincerity in the joke when you find out she did go through with it and got Finn tattooed, but even though she wants to look like a cool rebel, she keeps it to herself because it is so personal and meaningful. But once again, the comedy is sucked out and it reads as all sincere and logical, like, oh, how clever. Hot Rachel is just tricking the director. She is so cool and hot and talented and perfect and beautiful, and let's all be in love with her. Ugh. Old Rachel was right there. But they refused to see her. Also, old Rachel absolutely took out the hairpins before entering the apartment for drama's sake. Good for her. I love her. Other thoughts. Go listen to the Plastic Hearts album by Miley. It's got some good stuff. I like when a director says, just go for it. It's terrifying, but it also forces me to trust myself and my instincts and my partner rather than depend upon and hide behind the puppetry of a director. I do think this is an absolutely inappropriate scene to try that technique with, but in many situations, I like it. Anyway, poor Martin Hitchcock, poor old Rachel. I hope they find each other in some future project with people who understand and respect their comedy where the desire for hotness doesn't drown them in the ice. Also, Marley has become one of my favorite McKinley characters, after being my least favorite newbie last season. I feel like they have finally figured out what makes her special and are leaning into it. But you guys just said that Wrecking Ball was her last solo, so I'm assuming her days are numbered. I'm very sad. And honestly, this email could be from anyone because there is no sign-off. So yeah, this email is from friend of the podcast, Ryan Murphy.
Well,
thank you, Ryan. Glad to have you listening.
Thanks for listening, Ryan. Love you. We love you so much, Ryan.
Ryan, now that the tides are turning, we've been on your side since day one. We've been defending you.
I famously love you, Ryan Murphy. Oh my gosh.
We have no spine. We are just sycophants. We'll go with whatever the crowd
literally
says.
Literally, we're floaters. Oh my God. With this email, I dig this email. And honestly, I agree, Ryan. Especially with the, they had such a good chance to like go in on the like old Rachel neurotic girl, like wanting to rebel, but pretending to rebel. I think that's such a good thought. I love that. They really missed the opportunity. I love that thought.
I totally agree. Because I still like the New York stuff in this episode. But like when we watched the episode, I didn't really have any complaints about it. I was like, oh, this New York stuff is fun. But Ryan, you are so correct. They could have gone so much further with it and made Rachel a little bit weirder. Because like you said, it's right there. the fact that she didn't get a haircut, but then it's like, I'm such a rebel because I pretended to get a haircut.
Yeah. It's like, I felt like I needed to rebel, so I did a pretend. I love that. Well, whoever you are, thanks for your message. Big appreciation.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Ja, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur einen Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Up next, we have a message from Harley.
Hello, Ian and LPC. My name is Harley.
See, a greeting. I love to be greeted in an email.
I know. Honestly, a relief. I wasn't sure if I was eavesdropping. Now I know they're talking to me.
I know
they didn't enter the wrong email address. I thought I was going to get a felony for reading someone else's mail. Hello, Ian and LPC. My name is Harley. My pronouns are he, him, his. I'm 26, and I'm from New Haven, Connecticut. Hi, Lena. You should visit so we can talk about Faberry. So, Glee helped me figure out who I was and sent me on my gender/sexuality journey. But this episode really hurt my feelings when I watched it live. I've seen all 6 seasons. When I was in my senior year of high school, I was a virgin like Marley. She was the only character on the show who didn't want to have sex and stuck to it, but she was shamed for it by a fucking adult. As a former paraprofessional, I have so many thoughts on Will the Turtle, and got cheated on for it. I loved Jarley from their first duet on the bleachers, so to see Jake backtrack so hard and for Marley to get virgin shamed like I did throughout high school and middle school was super icky and upsetting. Anyway, I hope you guys read this email on the pod. I hope... I think you're both so lovely, and I think of you as friends who make me laugh when I'm at my lowest. My wife always tells me to listen to your pod when she sees I'm sad. Shout out to my wife, Elena, for putting up with Glee despite not loving it. I hope your cruise is going well, Ian. And Lena, I hope you find lots of good books to read with fun, tasty snacks to make your commute more fun. All my best, Harley.
I love that.
Shout out to Elena. I love a partner who indulges you in media that you like and they don't necessarily like, but they like it because you like it. Mm-hmm. No, like, truer form of love.
My mom will be like, oh, you're having a bad day. Go read a book. You'll be fine. Mm-hmm. And I'll be like, you don't know me, mom. You don't know that that's what's going to make me feel better. And then it does make me feel better. Big shout out to Elena. That's so awesome. I love this message, and I appreciate it. I feel like, Glee's attitude towards sex, like, throughout the entire show is, like, so weird, and, like, they go back and forth, and I feel like they never can, like, quite settle on who, like, what they think about it, because, like, they, like, do this story all the time where they, like, you know, are shaming people for not wanting to have sex. And then, you know, it's great. I don't know. Glee is such a funny show. I don't know.
I mean, I think Glee at its heart, this might be like an overstatement, but I think Glee at its heart has a healthy attitude towards sex, or at least thinks it does, in the sense that, like, I can always see that they're trying to say, you know, sex is your business, and you, if you feel ready and you want to have sex, you should have the freedom to do so. If you don't feel ready, you shouldn't be pressured into it, because, like, that message has been hinted at. It's, like, in the first time they talk about kind of stuff like that, and I don't know. And in this episode, we clearly are supposed to be on Marley's side in the sense that, oh, everyone else is in the wrong. If Marley isn't ready, she shouldn't be pressured into it. The problem for me is, at the same time, Glee just, like, doesn't know how to write a storyline that isn't about romantic relationships or about cheating. And so they want to have this storyline of, like, you know, if you aren't ready for sex, then don't have sex. Which, like, as a teenager... A lot of people aren't ready for sex. But at the same time, because they only come to like the same two wells, they keep writing every character as having sex. And yeah. So now it's this weird thing where it's like, oh, Marley is the only virgin in this club. Like, that's so bonkers to me. In a club full of teenagers in a high school, that like only one of them would be a virgin. And so it's weird because I can see.
I don't know anything about that. I feel like my perception of like people who had sex in high school, I like didn't think people even knew what sex was in high school. I was like, you guys are kissing? What the fuck? No way.
I mean, I'm also like, I'm not going to pretend that I was like in the know at my high school and I was like going to the parties where people were having sex. But I also do fully know of like various people in my high school that like me were virgins.
Yeah.
And also a lot of people who like Marley is in her sophomore year of high school. I would say even the kids at my high school who lost their virginity didn't lose it their sophomore year. Like, I don't know. It's just weird because this episode is clearly trying to have the message of Marley is being victimized here. She, you know, no one should pressure her into doing something that she's not ready to do, that she doesn't want to do. But then the show as a whole does kind of have a peer pressure-y vibe to it, because it's like every character on the show who's like so cool and awesome and fun is having sex. So then as an impressionable teenager watching it, you're like, oh, am I weird that I'm not?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know.
So.
Yeah.
I'll just say, your body's your business, everyone.
Totally. And like people who like are jerks to you about like what you choose to do with your body, like they can absolutely get the freak out of town.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand that. Well, they obviously, I don't know, they got whatever. That sucks. And don't be mean to other people about what they're doing with their body. You either. You know what I mean? I'm sorry if people...
I didn't hear what you said at the end there.
I just said it weird. Let me go back. I said, hey, if someone's being mean to you, I'm sorry. And hey, you, don't be mean to someone about what they're doing with their body. Get the freak out of town.
Okay.
Also, New Haven, gotcha. Connecticut, I soups want to visit Connecticut. Oh my God. Being like in, is New York in New England? I'm not sure. I don't know anything about New England. I'm new in town. But like being like here in this area, like in the fall, it is like a different thing. I really have never experienced anything like it. People love autumn here. And everyone's like, you got to go up to Connecticut to go visit the fall. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I wanna.
Here's a Western United States thought process that I'm sure you share.
Okay.
The idea that you can just like drive for an hour and be in another state.
Bonkers, bananas, crazy to me.
Whenever people are like living in Connecticut and driving to New York to see a show and then driving back to Connecticut, I'm like, oh, what? A 7-hour round trip? What are you talking about?
When you
like,
take classes
it's just
with people who like live in New Jersey, I know. I'm like, what?
Yeah, people fully like living out of state and commuting. You had to drive
bonkers.
Minimum 4 hours in any direction from my hometown to leave Arizona. Like, it was not possible.
When you and I lived in Utah, we had to commute more than an hour to come visit each other.
Mm-hmm.
And we were still in the same state.
Well, to get from our college to your house is 5 hours, and it's in the same
literally.
State.
Literally. I know.
It's these eastern U.S. states are so tiny. They make me laugh.
They're so little.
They make
they're
me
so
giggle.
Little.
I was like, oh, so cute. Oh, they're you so, live in so Connecticut. Cute. Oh. Oh.
It's just such a little state.
I just go on
Vermont,
a walk and I accidentally left the state. Rhode Island.
Oopsie.
Oh, what is it? Three houses.
Treehouse, Rhode Island. No, for real. These states are tiny. You take the train for 20 minutes and you're already in Pennsylvania. It's crazy.
I have to say, though, as small as Connecticut is, there's probably like as many people living in Connecticut as there are living in Arizona.
Because
I would drive, to college. The Phoenix area of Arizona where I grew up is very populated. But once you leave the Phoenix area, I would drive for 3 hours, not see another human person. Nothing on all sides. Honestly. I was in. It's so funny to me because the attitude. Sorry, Harley, we're making this whole response about the fact that you live in Connecticut. But for us, the East Coast is so foreign. So yeah, like
totally.
When I visit the East Coast and I see, you know, like these cute little kind of like Victorian era houses and like fall colors, that's outer space to me. I'm like, oh my gosh, yeah, totally. I feel like I'm in a TV show. Like, I feel like I'm in a movie that it looks like this. And I, one of my coworkers, he didn't know I was from Arizona. He's traveled all over the world. And he was talking about the most incredible place he's ever visited is northern Arizona and southern Utah. He said, it's wild. I felt like I was in a Wile E. Coyote cartoon.
That's
and I
us.
Said, dude,
no, for real.
That's my backyard. Like, I see that every day.
That's Mars, bitch. Seriously.
When I watched Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner, I said, I'm home. This just looks like outside.
There was that time in one of the stations by my work that, like, I don't know, like, Chase or Discover was doing, like, you know, an ad, like, was, like, plastering that station in ads. And there was one, it was a picture of someone, like four-wheeling in Zion. And I was walking with someone, they're like, that picture's so beautiful. And I said, shut the fuck up, that's my house. I was like, that's where I am from. That's my home. And they didn't know because they were from New York. They'd never, like, seen anything like that. So, yeah, I would love to visit Connecticut.
Your little baby state. Your little microscopic state.
It would take me, what, 20 minutes to get there by foot?
We on the Recovering Gleek podcast do not condone or support virgin shaming at all, but we're all for state shaming.
Specifically about the size of your state. It's a small little state. Harley, thanks so much. See you later. See you when we're in Connecticut. Up next, we have a message from Jewel.
Hi, Ian and Alina. Longtime listener, first time emailer. First, I wanted to say that I really appreciate this podcast, and I'm so glad to have an outlet for my thoughts on Glee. For End of Twerk, I was, quite frankly, astonished and offended that you did not do the assignment of the week. So if you would, could you please share what you would perform to fight for your right to twerk? It could be 2013 era or current songs, as long as they are booty shakeable. Thanks for reading, Jewel.
Jewel, thank you so much. I'm glad you brought this up. This is very important. What song are you going to twerk to? I asked, Ian was, before we started recording, was like, what song am I going to twerk to? And he said, I figured it out. And I said, what is it? He's like, I'm not going to tell you. I'm not even going to tell you on the podcast. So let's skip Ian and go right to me. Since he's not going to tell you. Just kidding. Ian, what song are you twerking to?
No, what are you doing? What are you doing? I'm
twerking to Tempo by Lizzo featuring Missy Elliott. That song is one of my favorite pump-up jams. I always feel very beautiful after listening to that song. So I can't wait to twerk to it.
Heck yeah.
What song are you twerking to?
As Will says in this episode, in 20 years' time, we're going to look at twerking as a nostalgic, fun dance of the era. And that's how I view twerking. I love to twerk. I especially love to twerk as a comedic bit. So I love to do it to songs.
Pretty funny when you do it.
I love to do it to songs that, like, it doesn't really work to. One of the songs on the ship is Sound of Silence by Simon and Garfunkel. And we had a day where we had to record all of our vocals just in case one of us ever lost our voice because we don't have understudies. They would have a recording and we could just, like, come on stage and they could play the recording. And so all the singers had to come on stage and record our songs. And while the soloist was doing Sound of Silence, I, like, melodically twerked to it in the background. And honestly, I felt a very strong spiritual connection to it.
Aww.
And what is more powerful than saying to the powers that be, life without twerking is just the sound of silence. Like, I can't twerk. Hello, darkness, my old friend.
Yeah.
Wait,
seriously.
You do not know, like, a cancer, silence grows without the ability to twerk. So I would be in those hallways shaking my money maker to some Simon and Garfunkel bops to try and get them to see what's in my heart.
I love that. That's really sweet.
That's mine. Thank you.
Aw.
I'm not saying I'm a hero, but...
Honestly, here, I'll say it for you. Hero. Hero.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh. Jewel, thanks for bringing this up. I didn't even think about an assignment of the week. This is such a good prompt. So thanks for sending it. Up next, we have a message from Emily.
Hi, Ian and Lena. Hope you're having a great week. I've just been struck by divine inspiration and thought it might be fun to ask you guys in on this. No idea how the topic came up, but I was talking to Nat and Drew, shout out, and spent most of this evening joking about the movie Yesterday. Fun fact, my grandparents are in that movie, but it got me thinking, a world where Glee never existed? If you woke up tomorrow and nobody remembered Glee, like it never happened, would you remake it? How would you remake it? Would you write yourself into it? Many things to think about. Anyway, I hope you're having a great week. Emily, she, her, from England.
International listener!
You know what's even funnier to me than driving from state to state in like less than an hour?
Driving from country to country.
Country to country. Like,
what? That's England, ridiculous.
A little bit less than, you know, it's like kind of off on its own. But like in Europe, the greater European area.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And your little country, it's so small, it's so sweet.
Yeah, it's so tiny. Like, oh, cute little Austria, your whole country could sit in my state.
I love Austria. It also is like, okay, also, not to be a cartographer, but how true is that? I know that, like, in at least, like, American maps that we see, like, America looks, I think, bigger than it
actually is. Yes, that is true. It's all like weird distortion. Austria's pretty small though. So I feel, I might be wrong, but I feel confident enough to say that Austria could fit inside Arizona. And you know, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I'm not going to say like Italy. Like, I'm not that confident, but.
Yeah, totally. Wow. Cartography. Should we get into it?
Mm.
I love the movie Yesterday. We were just talking about that before we started, how we both think the movie Yesterday is so good.
It's so
fun. One of
fun.
My favorite Ed Sheeran pop-ups in a movie/TV show. Did you know that Ed Sheeran is in Game of Thrones?
Mm-hmm.
It's wild. It's wild. It is such a weird cameo. Anyway. But
he's such
a great
a weird
cameo
dude.
Is
I
him.
Think he is very endearing.
I feel bad for him. I don't know why people hate him. I like just don't see why people hate him. Oh yeah. People make fun of him a lot. I don't know. He's great in the Yesterday movie. So you're the writer of the two of us. Tell me about your Glasterday.
So I didn't put a lot of thought into this because I've only brought it up 10 times. My internet is terrible. So I didn't have a ton of time. So this is kind of off the top of my head. The by and large...
Scrolls down to see like several bullet points.
But you know, I would have written like pages.
Yeah. I know you would have.
The by and large of it is... going back to Bree's email. In That's What You Missed on Glee, Ryan Murphy talks about how the first season of Glee, specifically those first 13 episodes, he says, we were making that show for us. He was like, no one had seen it yet. We didn't know if it was going to be a success. I frankly thought that it was probably going to get canceled. And if we were lucky, it was going to get a cult following. We were making the show for us. And then he says, after those 13 episodes aired and it became a huge hit, we started making the show for the world. And he talks about how their kind of priorities shifted and they started, you know, having big artists on and doing popular music and all that stuff. I'm not saying that's bad. My personal preference, as Ian Allred, is I like when they were making the show for them more. I'm not saying it's objectively better, but just like for me personally, I like that more. So overall, that's what I would do. I would continue having it be a low stakes, like oddball satire about like these loser kids who are in a show choir in Lima, Ohio, that purposely is like very self-aware of how low stakes everything is. But like, that's where the comedy comes in. They could, you know, have some popular songs on there. They could have big production numbers, but like that's not what it's about. Like that's very secondary to what the show is. So that's the big note. Some more specific things. I would recast Puck, and I would recast Will. Puck, writing-wise, I would keep basically the same. I think Puck is like a pretty well-written character. I just don't like the performance. Will, I would change so that he was more... I'd keep it that, like, you know, he's this man who is very dedicated to this club and very dedicated to his students. I would take all the stuff out of trying to make him hip and cool, and like trying to make him like hip with the teenagers. I would lean into the fact that he is a dork and he is out of touch and he can't really relate to these teenagers, but he cares about them so much that it's endearing and you like him. Because I feel like the teachers I think of most fondly in high school, it's not like, oh, this teacher was so cool, they knew all the lingo. It's like, this teacher was such a dork, but they cared about us so much that it was like endearing that they were a dork. So I'd make him more like that. Well, I would never drop Kurt Sadie's. Kurt Sadie's friendship, they'd continue to be best friends the whole show. I would continue the plot line of Tina being the group gossip. I think that's such a fun idea that gets dropped so early in season one. I just think that, like, largely I would have the show be much more ensemble based on all of the characters, like a lot more fun character dynamics, a lot more episodes like duets where it's like these two random characters get thrown together. Let's see how they interact. I love plot lines like that. It would be much more seeing personalities clash and how they interact with each other over here's who's dating who and here's who's cheating on who.
Right.
Once they had to graduate, I would have put some more thought into it and been introducing characters in season three that were fleshed out and interesting that could start to take over the club in season four. And then the new characters in season four would be more background characters and they would grow to be bigger. I would continue with the plan they had that they dropped of Finn getting a job at Sheets and Things and Terry becoming his fairy godmother. I am literally obsessed with that plot line. The day that I read that that was the planned plot line after Funk changed my life. I can't believe they didn't do it. The concept of, first of all, I just think Terry's a fun character and I wish she had stayed in the show more. But the concept of this woman who was so toxic to Will and like was in such a bad marriage with him suddenly becomes a very positive maternal figure in like Will's surrogate son's life. One, it's a fun way to keep Terry on the show. But two, it's such great dynamics of now, you know, Will has feelings for Emma, but obviously he has residual feelings for Terry because they're married for so long. And he sees her be like a very healthy and positive role model in Finn's life. And he starts to wonder, maybe I misjudged her. And now Emma's dating Carl, so should I go back with Terry? But then Terry is still very toxic to Will. And then also we get more Howard, we get more Kendra, we get more Terry. And that's a win-win for me. I would keep Quinn Sadie's in this show. I think in season two, it would be super interesting to have Quinn still living with the Jones family, to actually see Quinn living with the Jones family, but to have Quinn at school. Like, we get the plot line that Quinn very much wants her popularity back and her status back, but we're not really given as much introspection as I would like as to why. So I'd have it be a lot more clear that it is Quinn is trying to ignore everything that happened in the last year. She's trying to pretend that the pregnancy never happened. She's trying to be the perfect, like, goody two shoes, all American girl that she wants to be because she needs to be validated by other people. And then we have this weird dichotomy of like she and Mercedes are really close. They've created this sisterhood. She is living with the Jones family. She really loves them. But then at school, she is basically discarding everything about Mercedes to try and be who she was again. So it like puts a strain on that friendship where Mercedes is like, when we're at home, things are so great and so cool and we're like sisters. And then at school, you're just so worried about being the head cheerleader again and about being prom queen and getting your status back. And it's like, I don't exist. And I think that would lead to some very interesting dynamics and give us more freaking Mercedes Jones in this show because I never do anything with her. I would do a lot more with Finn and Kurt as brothers. I just have a lot more non-romantic relationships, period.
Yeah, totally.
I would do more. I'm not against the characteristic of Finn, which is he just gets very emotional and loses control and does or says things that he regrets. I'm not against that. It's a very human quality. It makes for interesting storylines. I would add a little more penitence after the fact. I'd add a little more like regret and apologizing on his part, specifically with Santana's coming out in season 3. I really love Mashoff. We've talked about it. I love the drama of it. I love Santana bullying Finn and pushing his buttons. And he gets so angry that he just like spits out something mean to her just to try and retaliate without really thinking through what he's saying and who he's saying it around. I would make it happen in a little bit more of a private place. Like, not in the middle of the school hallway. Maybe he says it in a classroom that they're in and doesn't realize that the door is open. And then for the next episode, for I Kissed a Girl, I changed the whole thing. I would have it not be that Finn is like, oh, Santana, you're so cool and awesome. And we're singing Women Love Women songs this week. I would have it be Finn is like sick to his stomach over this, trying to make it right. He's so apologetic, yada, yada, yada. And then I just do more. I'd have more vocal adrenaline presence during seasons 2 and 3. It's so fun in season 1 that they are just like the Empire. Like, they are this evil force that has always felt. And then seasons 2 and 3, you kind of forget about them until the competition episode against them. Especially in season 3, where Jesse St. James, Rachel's ex-boyfriend, is the director of Vocal Adrenaline. I feel like there was so much story to be mined there. And like, Unique is the lead singer, and she is so misunderstood, and she has such a great heart, and she is being, you know, mistreated by this group. I would just do a lot more with that. So those are the main thoughts that came to my mind immediately.
Hell yeah.
If I was to Glester Dagley.
And would you cast yourself?
Oh, 100%. If there's one thing about me, it's that I'm a self-promoter.
Hell yeah, good for you.
I'm gonna further my career.
You're all you got.
I would not cast myself as like a main character.
Okay.
But I think I would cast myself as like a recurring character.
Okay.
Like someone who comes in like 3 or 4 times a season and is a lot of fun, but I wouldn't like cast myself as Mr. Schuster, you know?
Would you cast me?
Yeah, Lena, I cast you in like everything I ever write. True. So yes,
that's true. Awesome. Well, I can't wait for auditions. I'm so excited. Do I remember Glee in this scenario?
I mean, in Yesterday, there's like those two other people who also remember the Beatles. Maybe we remember it together.
Honestly, that'd
be fun. Do you have any inputs, any other things that you would stick in?
Oh, gosh. Any other things? I don't know. Honestly, this is all very good. And I love especially that you are focusing more on the friendships rather than the romantic relationships. Because, like, I think that that's, like, where this show could totally shine, that it doesn't. And, like, these fun characters, instead of kissing each other, why don't they, like, have sleepovers all the time and, like, hang out, you know? Mm-hmm. So I love that. Honestly, I don't think I have anything to add. I think this is all fun. This is all the good stuff and none of the bad stuff.
I'd make it a little more like Community, where like something I love about Community is it's basically like, here are these 7 very strong personalities. Let's just put them in a bunch of different scenarios and watch those personalities bounce off of each other. And like, every possible pairing in that show, you can find an episode where that pairing has a plot line together. And it's so, I just find stuff like that way more fun to see how different characters interact over like watching just like love story after love story. And I love a good love story, but when that's all it is over and over, I'm kind of over it.
And they like certainly date each other in that show, but they realize like, even when they date each other, it's like our friendship is more important. Like one of my favorite things that to ever come of something that I don't love that happened is the Britta and Troy relationship when they break up and they're just like, can we stay friends? and just realizing that, like, their friendship means so much to them. That's one of my favorite things that ever happens on that show. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. I love that show.
That show
Can
is
you
so good.
Believe? I don't think we've talked about six seasons in a movie.
Oh, yeah, they're making a movie. The thing is, like, if Nevette Nicole Brown and Donald Glover aren't in it, like, I don't want it. So I'm kind of reserving my excitement to see if those two are going to come back. But I am very excited. And I mean, here's the deal. I'll still watch it if they're not in it. But, like, no, I won't be happy about it.
God knows. Like, Joel McHale is, like, itching to get back in there. I swear to God.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But I'm very excited about that.
Donald Glover and Yvette Nicole Brown were both in, like, the reunion thing that they did during the pandemic. Did you ever watch that?
Because they didn't leave. Like, Chevy Chase left the show on bad terms. Donald Glover and Yvette Nicole Brown didn't leave on bad terms.
No.
Donald Glover was just like, my career is taking off and I'd like to do other things.
I am a famous person. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Yvette Nicole Brown was like, I'm not going to do a show for freaking Yahoo streaming. So she left. But, like, they all talk very fondly of their time on the show. They're all still friends with the cast. So I do think for a movie where you only have to be on set for, like, a month, I think they could get them to come back.
Oh, please, oh, please, oh, please.
But that's another thing with Glee. I would flesh out the McKinley student body more. Like,
yeah, totally. I want to know Neck Brace Cheerio in a way that, like, I don't want to know her name, but I want to see her around more. I want to see her get into some trouble.
I love having recurring background characters who are never main leads and are never in the club. Like, they certainly do not need to join
the
club.
That's my favorite thing about
community.
But they
just make it feel like a real school. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Pop, pop.
So I do a lot
more
with that. Pop, pop, baby. That's like you said, that's one of my favorite things about community is when they have, like so many Greendale students and when they have big event episodes, like the paintball episodes.
Yeah,
and you,
they're
of
all
course,
there.
You're, yeah, like, you're most invested in the Greendale 7, but, like, it's so fun to see Vicky as the saloon dancer, or, like,
I literally was just thinking that, like, learning that Vicky is a dance major is, like, she's a dance major, Jeff.
Yeah. Or, like, seeing Magnitude, like, jump on the paint grenade,
it's so fun.
Yeah. So, long story short, if I were to glossary to Glee, I would make it Community, but a musical.
Community would hate that, but I love that. Community hates Glee.
They do. They joke about it a lot.
Oh, my gosh. Well, y'all, that's your mini-sode. Are you ready to play Relative Pitch?
So, and it's work. The songs are You Are Woman, I Am Man from Funny Girl. We're not doing that song. And then Blurred Lines by Robin Thicke featuring T.I. and Pharrell Williams, If I Were a Boy by Beyonce, Wrecking Ball by Miley Cyrus, On Our Way by The Royal Concept. I believe I'm going first.
You know what you're going to sing.
What am I singing?
The song that's on your cruise.
Okay, here we go.
Yes.
To your place, 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 we're on our way, 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 we're on our way, 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 we're on our way somehow. Hold me close, 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 we're losing time, 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 we're losing time, 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 we're falling to the ground. Okay, my place, place, place was a C. That they sang a B flat, so I was a step sharp.
Mm. Wait, what am I singing?
Wrecking Ball. Are you kidding me?
I'm typing out Wrecking Ball because I knew you were going to pick it.
Okay. That song rocks.
We clawed, we chained our hearts in vain. We jumped, never asking why. We kissed, I fell under your spell of love. No one could deny. Don't you ever say I just walked away. I will always want you.
So you're... We clawed, we something, I don't know the words, was an A to a D. And then an A to a C after that. Are you kidding me? Lena, I'm over it. I'm over it. I'm quitting the podcast.
You can't see it, but I'm dancing. Word. I'm dancing.
I could see it. Can you still not see me?
No. I mean to the people who are listening, friend.
Sometimes I forget that there's other people and not just the two of us.
Honestly, I think that's some of the charm of our podcast that just sounds like us just having a fun time.
Just the two of us and Ryan Murphy alone in a room together.
Just the two of us and Ryan Murphy.
See, that lyric has never made sense to me in that song, but now I get it.
Yeah, now it does. It was literally written
for
us.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I got it commissioned a couple years ago.
Oh, wow. Thank you. What an honor.
You're welcome. Well, y'all, that's your mini-sode. I hope you have a great rest of your week. We love you so much. I don't even know what we're going to talk about next week. So
next week,
honestly,
it's moving out.
I'm pumped as shit.
Billy
you
Joel,
guys
baby.
You know I love Billy Joel. Oh, my God. Well, we'll see you then. I love Billy Joel.
Love you all. Thank you for being here. If you have thoughts about moving out, send them to recoveringgleek@gmail.com. Love you. Also,
love you.
Because we never did it, and I'm just now realizing. Hey, everybody. My name is Ian Allred, and I'm a mini gleek.
Oh, my God. Hi, my name is
And I was
Lee
a part of the
BSA.
I'm an Eagle
gleek.
Scout.
Oh, I was in the GSA. I was a Girl Scout. I did, yeah.
That's our record for the longest it's taken us to introduce ourselves.
I don't know. Sorry, guys. I just forgot who I was. That's okay.
Sorry. We were having an identity crisis. Well, love
it
you all.
Sometimes. Love you. Here is a mini kiss on your mini forehead. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review and tell your friends, please.
We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chains and the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.